I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this last day of April already. If you're not a liberal when you're 20, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative by the time you're 30, you have no brain. Who said that? And why has that been quoted for a long time? You'll have to listen on to find out, and you'll be amazed how long ago it was said, and you'll be amazed to know that it was not an American who initially said that. We'll be talking with Avi Tushman, who's the author of Our Political Nature, The Evolutionary Origins of What Divides Us, and he looks at the issue of political orientation. That conversation is coming up momentarily, but before we get there, this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and KP Whaley, the great producer of this program, is joining me in our studios here in Milwaukee. And we are here to ask you to invest just a few minutes of time to support the programs you rely on, particularly programs like this one. Hello, KP. Make your gift now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you, KP.
And thank you to all the people who pledged last hour. We heard from both new and returning members. Thank you so much for your pledges.
Yeah, thank you as always. And right now, this is one of those rare hours, so take advantage of it. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,200 from Jan Sharp and Brian Bowman from Clam Lake, beautiful Clam Lake in Wisconsin, and thank you both so much. And also an anonymous donor. It means they will match every dollar that you give. It's great. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
And it's the perfect time for you to pledge right now because you get that pledge
right
doubled.
On.
It's a great opportunity here at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think you know that what happens in the rest of the world matters to us. It matters to you. And it's why WPR is so important and rare, really, on your radio dial. We talk with experts in all kinds of fields from all over the planet.
And we try to get that news from around the world and bring it right here to our own backyard because you value being an informed citizen and make a pledge right now to the station that keeps you connected to the world. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving to WPR is really very easy. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and then how you would like to pay for it.
That is easy.
That's easy, easy. Yeah.
You can make a one-time gift, or better yet, you can even start automatic sustaining donations that come directly from your bank account. It's a really simple way to do it. You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Warsaw, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Thank you, Bill. I feel good about you. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn. KP Whaley is with me, and we are asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. Your gift, maybe $10 or $20 a month, it's up to you. Whatever you choose is good. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whatever you give. The beauty of making a voluntary donation is that you decide how much, and how much you give isn't nearly as important as the fact that you do give.
And KP and I both value Wisconsin Public Radio, and we know that you value it as well. And you'll probably find that donating feels good. Find out right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You know, many new members give $5 a month, but you decide the amount that's right for you.
You know, maybe you remember listening to WPR as a child, or maybe your kids, as you're driving to work hear that WPR every day, and
they're
getting smarter. They're learning things.
Absolutely. We hear from a lot of people where that's the case. Their students get better grades because of WPR.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It might be an interesting story. It might be laughing along with weekend shows. WPR caught your imagination as a child, and you're passing that along to your children, and it engages all of us today.
And you really make all that possible when you participate as a member. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, we'll be having a fascinating conversation about whether or not the young really lean left because of passions and idealism. As they get older, do they go more to the right because they're more realistic? That will be a great conversation, and we'll get to it momentarily. But we want to remind you, this is a really important hour for your dollar because it goes twice as far. You get double your pleasure, double your fun, because we have this dollar for dollar match that's in effect right now. It's from Jan Sharp and Brian Bowman from Clam Lake and also from an anonymous donor. So your gift of 50 turns into 100, 100 into 200, you get the story. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So if you have two kids, then if you make a pledge for one of them, you're doubling it, right?
Absolutely, KP. You are a smart and clever guy.
Well, you know, giving maybe even just a dollar a day is the right amount for you here at Wisconsin Public Radio when you listen. And when you think about it, a dollar a day is a really great value. It's less or around the same price as a cup of coffee, maybe a can of soda, or even if you look at your cell phone bill, how much is that worth to you? $2 a day, maybe? So whatever you can give really is the right amount.
And a dollar a day would come out to $30 a month, and you can set it up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or from your credit card. Do make your pledge now in the amount that's right for you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, we have that dollar for dollar match in effect right now, this hour. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support today will go twice as far.
It will. If you're not already a sustainer, you should consider becoming one right now. It's very easy to set up convenient and ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we want to thank David and Jane from Colgate. They say that they love WPR. It is well-balanced, and I appreciate your hosts and guests. And Kathleen, you do a fantastic job of that.
Well, you give me great topics to talk about. So it's a team, and the listeners call in, which is a big part of this program, too. So it truly is a community, and we like what we do. We love what we do. It's important work.
That's right. So please donate now. Again, during this hour, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you all for your support of WPR.
Yes, thank you so much. And do it this hour because we have that double your money thing going on, which is always a really wonderful thing, thanks to generous donors. Avi Tushman is our guest now, and he's the author of Our Political Nature, The Evolutionary Origins of What Divides Us. He's an expert on a very interesting topic, the hidden roots of political orientation. And his life has been interesting. He began his career in politics as the youngest advisor in the government palace in Lima, Peru. He was senior writer to Peru's president, Alejandro Toledo, and he joined with Toledo and 17 other former presidents to co-write a regional policy agenda on democratic governance. His doctorate is in evolutionary anthropology from Stanford University, and he has studied political divisions, and heavens knows we have many of them right now, through the lenses of evolutionary anthropology, genetics, and neuroscience. And Avi Tushman, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, our great pleasure. You wrote an article recently, and I quoted this at the top of the show. If you're not a liberal when you're 20, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative by the time you're 30, you have no brain. I never knew really who said that. Somebody said that a long time ago.
Yeah, in fact, that saying has been attributed and often apocryphally misattributed to numerous famous politicians over the past couple of centuries, and it goes back to the 19th century French statesman François Guizot.
So we've been saying that for over 200 years.
Yes.
So he must have seen something that is universal.
Yeah. In fact, there's something I didn't get to mention because of the limited amount of space in that article that recently came out in Bloomberg, is that this line of thinking goes back all the way at least to the 4th century BCE in Aristotle's Rhetoric.
Ooh.
He's got some wonderful different parts here about that would seem a bit ageist if we read them today, but talking about the different temperaments of the young and the old,
mm-hmm.
Definite political implications. He says things like the young have hot tempers and hopeful dispositions that make them more courageous than older men, preventing fear and creating confidence. And then he says that people who are past their prime are cynical, and they tend to put the worst construction on everything, makes them distrustful and therefore suspicious of evil, and that they've been humbled by life and so on.
Mm-hmm. If an individual's political personality, you write, has not changed by the time of his or her 30th birthday, it's not likely to differ all that much at 40, 50, or 60. That's interesting.
Yes. So that's looking at this issue, at this problem from a much more modern perspective where we can be more scientific and take measurements on large numbers of people and actually measure how much change there is in people's political orientation. And we do find that people's political attitudes, even though they don't stay exactly the same, they're much more stable after the age of 30. And this, of course, corresponds to underlying biological facts, because our personality, even though it seems to have these invisible contours, it's ultimately tied to differences and changes in our brain.
Hmm. And you also write about many people at the age of 30, if not before, start having children, and that may make, if it's going to make at all, a substantial change in our political persuasion?
That's true. Having children is the most important environmental or lifetime event that I was able to find in my research that has an important shift on people's political orientation. And I found this very interesting because it was different than what a lot of people expected. When you're researching something like political orientation, and we all have different biases, sometimes people think that they're an expert on their own biases. And a lot of people tell me, the reason people get more conservative is because of taxes or paying a mortgage. I hear that all the time, and in fact, the facts don't bear that out at all. There's almost no relationship, depending on how you measure it, between people's economic interests and the way they vote. When you look at the large picture, in other words, people are voting regularly against their economic interests just as often as not.
Hmm. And it goes against what our common wisdom is, that most of us, I think, if we had to answer the question, would most people who are quite wealthy be voting Republican or Democratic? You say that accumulating wealth and even being in the 1% or being in the 99% are extremely poor predictors of left-right political orientation.
Absolutely. And the reason that's true is there are just too many wealthy liberals in places like California and New York, and too many poor conservatives in other parts of the country that sort of balance each other out. So to get a little bit more precise with numbers, if we look at our last presidential election in 2012, the correlation between people's household income and their preference for Obama or Romney was only 0.13, and that's typical of past elections in our history. So that's a very low correlation. And in fact, if you look at only white Americans, that drops down to 0.03. And of course, there are other ethnic groups that, for historical reasons and the alignment of parties, are more likely to vote Democratic. So when you control for the ethnicity variable, you'll find that it completely disappears.
Mm-hmm. We'll want to talk about what you've found in other countries as well, because some of the studies here would indicate that if you're 18 to 22 years old, how you experience the world and being open to new experiences, to meeting people, to seeing the world, to perhaps finding a mate, will make you more liberal in many other countries. Is that true, or is it a peculiarly American thing? We welcome phone calls, and here's where your comments will be appreciated, and we invite you to join the conversation. If you don't mind letting us know what your political persuasion may be, and we're interested in hearing if you've kept your persuasion over the course of your lifetime or if it has changed with a series of life events, what you see in terms of your children. We've heard that certain generations, we had the 60s and 70s, and Avi will suggest that perhaps the large vote for Ronald Reagan in the 1984 election was due to young, among 18 to 22-year-olds, very large vote, was in response to what they didn't like about their parents' generation or the 60s or the 70s generation. Millennials have been described as more liberal, at least on social issues. As you look at your life, have you changed your political persuasion? And what do you think was the reason for that? Here's how you can reach us on air today. The number is 800-486-8655, and lines are open for you. Please add and give us the human dimension to our conversation. 800-486-8655. Our guest is Avi Tushman. He is author of Our Political Nature, The Evolutionary Origins of What Divides Us. And we do want to remind you that we're in our spring membership drive, and this is a really good hour to pledge because you get double your money. We have listeners who are up to $4,200 matching what you give. They're going into their own pockets to give even more. So it's a good deal. And you can pledge at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Avi Tushman is our guest, author of Our Political Nature, The Evolutionary Origins of What Divides Us. He's an expert on the hidden roots of political orientation and says that it involves studying all kinds of fields to find out why we vote and what our political persuasion happens to be. We would love to hear from you about this. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 for on-air participation. And phone calls are coming in heavily. So let's go to phone calls. Joe is our first caller for you, Avi. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Avi.
Hi.
Avi, I had a question about, if you've heard the term reluctant Democrats, mm-hmm. a former Republicans who are not interested in, I think because of the Tea Party anti-science shift, mm-hmm. are reluctantly turning to the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Has that come across in your studies, Avi?
Oh, well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So the left-right spectrum is a natural phenomenon, as I show in Our Political Nature. And it takes when you look at the distribution of our left-right attitudes, they form a bell curve, very much like height, weight, blood pressure, and major personality traits. So this is why we find it in different countries. However, when a country is under certain kinds of stress, like economic pressure, as we were with the global recession and the fallout from 2008, that curve expands on both ends. So that's why we saw more political extremism, where the Occupy Wall Street arose to the far left and the Tea Party came out further to the right of the conventional Republican Party. And that's why a lot of conservatives found themselves in a situation where they had to identify as being more of a traditional center-right sort of conservative Republican or identify with the Tea Party. I guess what you're mentioning is people who identified as more center-right. I'd like to, if it's possible, quickly go back to Kathleen's question from before, which was really excellent, which is how do we know that these age-related shifts are not peculiar, American idiosyncrasies?
Yes.
And, of course, that question's critical for me as an evolutionary anthropologist. And we know this because even though politically contentious issues are very different from country to country, there are underlying personality traits that we can use as sort of a universal measuring stick to compare one group with another. And so we look at people all over the world, and we measure the major dimensions of personality that biologists use as a scientific standard for personality. We do find that as people live throughout their 20s, that openness tends to drop and that conscientiousness rises a little bit. And those are the two of the major personality traits that are most associated with left-right voting from country to country.
Interesting. I'm thinking about people who are in their 20s who may be doing job applications, and it may behoove them, even if it isn't terribly true, or maybe it is true for them, they could write, "I am," just in case you wanted to know, "terribly conscientious," just so that they will have an upper hand here. Thank you very much, Joe, for your call. Sam in Milwaukee is next. Hey, Sam.
Yep.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
I love the show. I'm doing good.
Good.
I grew up in a very liberal-leaning household, was very liberal-leaning all through high school and still am on the majority of social issues. Joined the Army, spent 8 years there, a number of deployments, and found myself moving steadily towards more of, I think, what the guest is describing as a center-right, saw the unfortunate parts of the world outside of tourist destinations and magazine pieces.
Where were you, Sam?
Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
Both times. I think that I found that all of the very, very socially liberal parts of me kind of were upset by the amount of things that end up being feel-good solutions to symptomatic problems rather than actually fixing problems. And on the other side, I also, working for the government for so long, started to get really, really upset about massive waste and of people's money, really. So it's been an interesting time, and I guess I didn't really realize until this previous election that I had that kind of changed places.
Interesting. Avi, your response?
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing that, Sam. Definitely our life experiences can make a very big difference. We know that about half of the variance in our political attitudes comes from the environment, and the other half comes from genetic differences. And what you're talking about are two different things. One is, being in difficult environments. I haven't served in the military, but I have worked in a number of conflict zones in South America and in the Middle East. And I can say personally, what's happened with me, it might be similar, is it can change your view of human nature. And that's one of the three major clusters of personality traits that I look at in our political nature that has a big impact on our political perception. So, if you see people as being inherently more cooperative or more competitive or self-interested. So, if you're in a conflict zone or even a combat zone and you see that you understand beyond an intellectual way that someone's, wants to take your life, right up close, then that can really change the way you see things. And you might realize how far you're willing to go to preserve yourself or your friends and your family or the people maybe that you're fighting alongside. And I think, although I didn't have data from people who've served in the military, it would be a very interesting study to look at how that life experience is would shift people's and the other thing that Sam mentioned is seeing government waste.
Yes.
Bureaucracies. Definitely that. I think if a lot of people worked in huge bureaucratic organizations, they might see those wastes and change their views. It's one thing to experience that in real life, and another thing where it's just sort of an ideological argument that gets thrown around about big government and this and that. But
right.
Certainly having firsthand experience with inefficiencies and bureaucracy will change your views, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Sam, very much for your interesting call. And if you don't mind, if you're on hold, would you please stay there? Because we're interested in all of your calls today, and we'll take them momentarily. Avi Tushman is our guest. He is the author of Our Political Nature, The Evolutionary Origins of What Divides Us. He has studied political divisions through the lenses of evolutionary anthropology, genetics, and neuroscience for 10 years now, and not just in America, but he has a world experience to add to this discussion as well. So we'll continue our phone calls momentarily. We do want to let you know, though, that we are also in our very important spring membership drive, and your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your place to go for great programs and great ideas. And KP Whaley is with me to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs that you count on.
That's right. Right now we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect, too. So that is from a generous Jan Sharp and Brian Bowman of Clam Lake, and also an anonymous donor. So your gift of $50 right now will turn into $100, and $100 turns into $200.
Yes.
And so on and so forth. So you really want to take advantage of this match right now. Double your support for WPR programs like Kathleen Dunn Show when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
KP gets wonderful guests and other producers of this program and all the shows that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio because, and we hear this from almost every single person, they know that you will ask great questions. There won't be interruptions from commercials. Your support is what makes all of this possible. You are the most reliable part of our budget. Give now, WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
And 14,000 sustainers can't be wrong. In fact, we have more than 14,000 sustainers right now, and that pool is growing each and every day.
You can set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or credit card and sit back and relax. $10 a month gift, whatever amount works for you, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking of your tax dollars right now, around this time of year, well, federal and state already support WPR. You're right, they do, and we thank you for that.
But contributions, really, from individual listeners make the quality and variety of programs on this station possible. Listener support, actually, the biggest single piece of our budget pie. So it's you who makes the difference. And because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs that you listen to.
And again, we have a dollar-for-dollar matchup right now, up to $4,200 in effect right now. It's a really great time to pledge because every dollar you give, Jan Sharp and Brian Bowman from Clam Lake and an anonymous donor will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of really inspiring and challenging you to support WPR. So double your impact of the pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
Yeah, it's very generous of them, and it's wonderful for you because you can think, you know, I'm going to pledge, oh, maybe I'll pledge 120, but it really becomes 240. You get it. It's a good thing. You can also find out if your employer will match your donation. Pledge now and ask your human resources department the next time that you have a chance.
And even retired employees can sometimes qualify for employer matches. So pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and then go find out if you can get your pledge doubled through your employer
Thank
match.
Thank you. Thanks, Heapy. Thanks for all of your terrific work. He brings us so many fabulous guests. And we're talking about why we have this political change that may take place when we're young. Our guest has studied the brain. He studied human beings and their political persuasions in various parts of the world for a long period of time. And we're looking at this phrase, which is kind of the overview of our hour. If you're not a liberal when you're 20, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative by the time you're 30, you have no brain. Our phone number is 800-486-8655 is our number. And let's go to Julie next in Barron County. Hi, Julie.
Hi. And welcome, Ari. I'm so glad you're studying this field. I've had a suspicion for a while that some of this stuff is hardwired. And what I wanted you, Kathleen, you'd said you wanted people to call in who had changed. And when I was 20, I was pretty conservative, and now I'm pretty much, I'd call myself a slightly left of center Democrat. But I was raised Catholic, went to Catholic schools, which is a pretty moderate. And back in those days, Catholics tended to be, I don't know, maybe more Democratic than they are nowadays. I'm not really sure, but I credit the change, and I'm the only Democrat in my family of origin, and I credit the change to a couple of things. First of all, I went to high school and graduated from high school during Watergate, and when the presidential elections came along, when Gerald Ford was running against Jimmy Carter, I was so fed up with hearing about Watergate. I didn't have any political inclinations one way or the other. But I was just so fed up with it that I wanted something different. And so I just, to me, Watergate equaled Republicans. And also at the very same time, Jimmy Carter as a person, as a human being, impressed me a lot. I hadn't been following politics much at that time, but he just seemed like a really decent human being. And even nowadays, even people who don't agree with his politics pretty much agree he's a decent man, human being, and has been able to accomplish so much from a core goodness in him. But that's what really got me started gradually going in the direction I'm in. Some other things that I think also influenced me was, unlike a lot of Americans, I lived in a third world country for 2 years.
Where were you?
Nigeria.
Oh.
My father is now retired, a college professor, and he taught over there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was over there when I was in second and third grade, which are very impressionable years. And I tell people it's a time when you're old enough to remember things, but you're not yet old enough to judge them. You just absorb them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw certainly poverty and malnutrition. And, you know, by the standards over there, I was a very wealthy person. By American standards, I was very middle class. But that really left a lasting impression on me, how much I had compared to so many people in the world who didn't have. Another thing that I think definitely has pushed me in the direction that I am now is I earned a Master of Fine Arts degree at a private non-sectarian university where all of these ideas, my mind was opened up to all kinds of new ideas,
mm-hmm.
which weren't taught in the Catholic schools I went to in grade school and high school. And then finally, I'm in a field of work that pays poorly and in which there aren't enough jobs to go around. I'm an underemployed journalist. So,
yeah.
You know, all of those things, I think, you know, are definitely what I point to as the reason why I'm different from the other people.
Yeah, Julie, what a fascinating call in life you've had. Let me center on this Watergate, because I know that you have looked at certain events that can happen in a person's lifetime, and it may be a political event like Watergate. It may be, the Great Recession of 2008. There are lots of events that define certain generations. Can they have the effect of moving us from conservative to liberal or vice versa, Avi?
Yeah, absolutely. you know, Watergate is a textbook example of a current event that had an enormous impact on American public opinion. And I should mention there is a rationality to public opinion. So when something like that happens, you'll find public opinion to react, and sometimes dramatically in response to it. What happens is if we segment public opinion by different demographic groups or ideological groups, we do find like a stratification or different parallel lines. So the approval of the president will drop, but you'll still find a distance between Democrats and Republicans who had different approval ratings of President Nixon to begin with. As you know, our caller's life story shows, political orientation is tremendously complex, and it brings up
yes.
many points. Two that come to mind is when we look at studies of twins. We can look at fraternal twins who share half of their genes, and also identical twins who share 100% of their DNA. And when they're growing up and in school and in the home environment, we don't find very big differences between those two types of twins and their political orientations. And it's not until they leave the home environment and go out on their own that they sort of become who they really are, and where we find a much bigger difference between the fraternal twins' political orientations than we find in identical twins. So that may have something to do with our caller's story. And another item that comes up that's very interesting is in the aftermath of World War II, when political psychology really took off, the Allies, who had just won, were very concerned that there'd be a resurgence of fascism. And so they brought in these psychiatrists from the UK and the US, and they're doing all kinds of research to find out who could staff the new civilian government and who would be most resistant to fascist ideology. And one of the interesting findings is they found that people who had gone and lived in another country for 6 months or longer, as well as people who read books in foreign, in other words, non-German languages, were more likely to be to the left of the political spectrum. So this is related to a phenomenon that I discuss in Our Political Nature called xenophilia, which is sort of on the other end of a spectrum from ethnocentrism, you know, an attraction to outgroups. And certainly there are also fields of knowledge where that attract people of different personalities.
Sure.
Right. So if you're curious and are higher in openness, you might be more interested in certain types of journalism, or certainly social scientists, you know, do not have a normal distribution of political personalities at all. There have been widely publicized studies in major newspapers showing that you do not find very many conservative or moderate social scientists. So I think that, you know, there's definitely interesting biases in different mm-hmm. fields. And, that's why I found it very interesting and informative to look at this problem from more of the hard sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And let you know, there's definitely parts of our political nature that might please or ruffle the feathers of one side more than the other, and vice versa.
Right.
But part of the scientific process is just making sure that the method is correct, and all the findings are from top peer-reviewed scientific journals. Amazing, fascinating studies that come up. And just one last point I'd like to emphasize is that the really unique thing about Our Political Nature is it's the only book on this topic that's written by an evolutionary anthropologist or somebody who's specialized in evolutionary theory.
Right.
So it ties together all of these findings from diverse fields, and it unites them under that overarching framework that is an umbrella of the life sciences, which is evolutionary theory, and explains why we find these curious differences in the physiology
yes.
and genetics and that affect our personalities and ultimately our political behavior.
Thank you, Julie, so much for your call. Let's go to Jim in Mayville next. Hi, Jim. Jim, are you there? Jim's gone, so let's go to Bill in Wausau. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Go right ahead, Bill.
Well, I'm in my 60s now. I started out being a little more conservative. My parents were long-standing Republicans, as their parents were before them, and we got like the Chicago Tribune at home, which was a good Republican paper at that time. I was active in Young Republicans in high school and for a while in college. I actually worked at the with the Senate Republican Caucus staff as I was a college student down in Madison during the Vietnam War. Where I am now is I am more independent, but my sense is that I've been seeing a shift in maybe how the parties define themselves. I see the Republicans, who used to be the party of small government, actually over the past several administrations actually growing government more than the Democrats. I'm also seeing, one of my perspectives is I've worked with the environment, doing environmental impact statements, very large-scale projects, a variety of things around the country. And with that focus, I'm seeing more and more legislation, particularly recently here in Wisconsin, that is basically allowing businesses to do as they please and put long-term costs and impacts on the rest of society, which I guess my sense is we're almost heading towards an oligarchy now.
And let me just get, we have to pledge here in a moment, Avi, but I'd like for you to take on the issue of, we may have and always have had this sort of divide, but can you take on what many of many observers appear to be a time where the partisan divide and our political ideologies are so firmly entrenched in who we are that we just can't talk to, not only can't talk to each other anymore, we can't get anything accomplished because we can't sit down at the same table?
Yeah, very important issue. I urge listeners to read an article that I published recently in The Atlantic that they could find on my website, ourpoliticalnature.com. And it's all about this increasing polarization in our country. I mentioned that the economic situation recently aggravated this divide. But also we've seen this long-term trend in polarization that really started to take off in the 1960s. And what I show in this article and in the book in much greater detail is that, surprisingly, education is part of the issue. Since the 60s, education rates went way up. And between 60 and 2008, for example, the number of women with a bachelor's degree is quintupled. And education tends to polarize people, so it pushes them a little bit further in the direction of their predisposition. And in addition to that, it gives them more freedom. So people are moving more to different states when they have more education.
Mm-hmm.
So by 45% of college grads moved out of state in 5 years in the 1980s, compared with 19% of high school graduates. And they're also marrying and reproducing more with people of the same ideologies. And this is one of the most interesting things I found in my research, is that of all the things that spouses have in common, that one of the highest correlations is between their political orientations. So when you add this together with the measurements of heritability of our political orientation, and you put it into a simulation of our society, which some political scientists have done, you can actually see that polarization increases quite substantially in only five generations.
Oh, that's
started in the 80s.
Yeah. Avi, thank you. That's the subject for another show, which we'll be happy to schedule. Avi Tushman is our guest. His book is Our Political Nature, The Evolutionary Origins of What Divides Us. And he also has that article in The Atlantic, and we'll do a follow-up on this show. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. It was really interesting. We have another mission, which we'll tell you about momentarily. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and KP Whaley is joining me in our Milwaukee studios. It's our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive, and it's your chance to show support for the programs that you listen to throughout the year. Make this step. Donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, and we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,200 in effect right now. So it's a great time to pledge, because for every dollar you give, Jan Sharp and Brian Bowman of Clam Lake and an anonymous donor will donate an additional dollar. So be inspired by them and double your impact of your pledge right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation with Avi Tushman on Our Political Nature, the show that we did, the intergenerational show. We're going to do a show down the road here of looking at people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s to talk about their generation as well. This hour is an example of the really interesting, you hear new information, informative, substantial conversations that we have every day.
And now we'd like to have you take just a few minutes to make this hour and many, many more hours like it possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then go make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might pay $100 or even more for your cable service. Woo, it's a lot of money.
I think more.
Yeah, I know. And you're willing to do that because you get entertainment and information all month.
And you get the same things on this station. In fact, I would question and say that you probably get more here on Kathleen Dunn's show on WPR, and that's really unmatched. The quality is only possible with your support. Please become a sustaining member with a gift of $100 a month. You'll keep the station going strong. Sign up for that now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
You've got something dynamite. I mean, I just want to give the biggest, most sincere thanks to the people that had this as their brainchild and that worked to see it to its fruition. You know, it's one of the tools of democracy that we have. We don't have town hall meetings anymore, but we do have an electronic town hall meeting on the Ideas Network.
I like his phrase, a tool of democracy, because indeed that's what we do here. Please go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this spring membership drive. KP Whaley joining me, asking for your support of WPR. This is an important hour. It's double your money. So your gift of $10 or $15 a month becomes $20 or $30 a month. Whatever you give is the right amount.
And it's really easy. It just takes a few minutes of your time. We need your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. It's that simple. You can give a one lump sum, or even better yet, you can become a monthly sustainer.
Yes.
And no matter how much you choose to give or how much you give, use the next few minutes in this hour to support the station you count on. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. From Jan Sharp and Brian Bowman from Clam Lake, thank you so much, and an anonymous donor. So let's make this baby work. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 into $200. It's really a good thing. Take advantage of the match. Double your support for WPR programs. Give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We enjoy having you spend time with us, and we thank you for spending time with the Wisconsin Public Radio today. Whether you found us by scanning the dial or maybe a friend recommended the high-quality news or great discussions we have, you're still tuned in because you like what you hear.
And because you like what you hear, we are asking you to help pay for this listener-supported public radio service. Choose the amount, $5 a month, a great starting point. Remember, it becomes $10.
That's right.
Because of this pledge, you know, this grant we've got, this challenge from listeners. It's a good thing. Become our next new member, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may have already made a donation this year, and if so, thank you. Or maybe you're a sustaining member, thank you also. But we'll gladly accept your extra gift right now, too, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You know, you'll help make this drive successful, and you'll support the programs that you enjoy every single day.
Don't forget, dollar-for-dollar match in effect just for this hour, and we're getting close to the end of the hour. So give now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Yeah, and we need about 10 more pledges in this hour. So we've just got a few minutes left. You can ask for this year's artist mug with your pledge of $150 or more. That's only $12.50 a month. It's a limited edition mug, and it's only available with a pledge here at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Amy from Oconomowoc says, a small payment for extremely informative programming. Absolutely agree with you, Amy. I learn something every day, so do we, from listening, from doing this show. We learn something, and most times I become inspired by so many of your guests.
That's right. You become inspired, too, and inspire others by making a pledge today, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Thank you so much. KP Whaley produced the program. Lisa Nalbandian did our on-air production. And thank you, everybody, for all of your pledges. Get double your money this hour, 888-202-2552. Stay with us. Great hour coming up here on the Ideas Network.